Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is the final hour on a Friday. Willie P. and Diesel here with you on ESPN Upstate. ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Lots that we did this week that we will resurface here in our final hour. We're also going to talk, we believe, with our pal Cole Bryson, who joins us every week around this time to do a little high school football about 20 minutes from now. You can still join us as well at 844-GSP-ESPN. Also on the text line, 71307. Have a whole bunch in the kitty that we want to at least talk about, including Clemson, South Carolina, and the Carolina Panthers. Our last look at all three this hour as we get you ready for a weekend of football. And quite honestly, I'm happy because you could tell that there was a void. For some reason, this particular bye week felt longer. And this particular time without football felt longer. I don't know if it was because it was earlier than it was usually, but I really feel good about the fact that we're going to get a nice little stretch drive here of six consecutive weeks with football between South Carolina and Clemson before another bye week and before they face off against each other in the annual Palmetto Bowl at the end of the month of November. But the one thing that I found interesting is that these are all divisional games from here on out for South Carolina and divisional games from here on out for Clemson, with the exception of the Wofford game sandwiched in between of the Boston College and NC State. There will be familiarity between the opponents on the schedules for both the Tigers and the Gamecocks, and it will breed contempt, at least in my opinion. I do believe that South Carolina will have the ability to move the football against Georgia. And similarly, I believe Florida State's going to give Clemson all they can handle for a time. Of course, the one thing about Florida State that is talked about by those, and I think a lot of these people that say these things about Florida State are wishing that the Seminoles do something, anything to try and get back to somewhere near the same stratosphere as Clemson in the ACC, because quite honestly, it's been a one-trick pony for an uncomfortably long time for ACC purists. There are a lot of people who look at this and say, my goodness gracious, there's too many athletes, there's too many people as a part of this organization for it to fail as spectacularly as it did in year one under Willie Taggart. We had Ira Schauffele on yesterday, and he talked about the fact that Kendall Briles has made things look a lot simpler on offense for this Florida State squad. But quite honestly, the real reason, in my opinion, that Florida State has at least at times looked like they might have the opportunity to get their stuff together is that they've gone back to Cam Akers, and that's one thing that concerns Dabo Swinney going into this week with the Florida State offense.
Really fast, physical. I think they're running the ball a lot better as far as what they're trying to do in the run game, different from last year. You know, Cam Akers, everything goes through him. He is a workhorse. He's physical. He's a very committed runner. We're probably a little soft in the last couple games as far as the run. We've played a couple of good backs. And so we got to match that physicality and that mindset, because this back is he's a committed dude, and you better have your big boy pads on. And he may get some zeros, he may get some ones, he may get some twos, but he just keeps coming and they keep giving him the ball. But that sets everything else up to what they do, because they're very RPO oriented. A lot of quick game, a lot of shots, big splits, tempo, double moves, and they got guys outside that can go get it. They're getting better up front. It was an area that they obviously struggled in last year, and I think that they're much improved. It all starts with stopping the run against those guys and then trying to win your matchups.
They bring eight back on defense, including Asante Samuel Jr., Stanford Samuels, Akeem Dent Jr., Jaden Lars Woodby, the sophomore. There are recognizable names and recognizable talent. This is what I'm telling you. Florida State, they have too many players for it to look as bad as it has looked over the course of time. And yet, last year they struggled 5-7. This year they struggled to beat ULM. Lost to Virginia, lost to Boise State. They looked somewhat whole against NC State. I'm not sold on the two-quarterback thing with Hornibrook and Blackman. I'm just not. Quite honestly, if it was me, I'd want Hornibrook in there the entire time. Just because. It's because Blackman's not the kind of guy who is a runner. He's just not. He's not a runner. So why in the world are you trying to make him one? And why in the world are they trying to turn this into a dual quarterback system? The only way that works is if the skill set differs between these two, and quite honestly, it's about the same. Mention that defense. Big key for them, no Jamarius Robinson in the opening half because he was ejected for targeting in the second half against NC State. So as you know, the penalty is two halves of football. He'll be out. He was out for the second half against NC State, and he will miss the first half of the game against Clemson. Outside of that, though, Dabo Swinney, very impressed with the size and stature of what FSU brings to the table.
It's the biggest group we've seen. They are huge across the front, and they've been in and out of, you know, kind of some even and oaky fronts. So they've changed it up a little bit over the five games as far as what they've done defensively. So they've had a bunch of penalties and a bunch of sacks that have hurt them, but they've also overcame a lot of that because they're plus five in the turnover margin, and they've had some short fields in some of these games to work with. So that's a big factor in this game because we're minus one. It's an area we've got to improve in, you know, taking care of the football. And then we did not create a turnover at North Carolina. It's the first time in a long time we hadn't got a turnover. And so we've been very advantageous that way. So we got to get back to you know, getting our hands on the ball, creating some turnovers, and then, you know, taking care of it offensively. That'll be a huge stat in this game. We win the turnover margin, we win the game. Simple as that. And vice versa. And vice versa, because they're as talented as, again, anybody that we played or will play from.
That is a little bit from Dabo Swinney here on ESPN Upstate. And it's weird. They've got a lot of personnel on the defensive side of the football that know what the heck they're doing, including former Oregon D coordinator Jim Levitt, who, quite honestly, is talented enough to be a head coach in places that have had him there. Guy who was a Mizzou guy originally, and he's bounced around a bunch of different programs. The fact that he's there on staff helping out Harlan Bennett on the defense, that's the part of this that, when quite honestly, has looked, at least from the standpoint of Willie Taggart, the fact that he's now bringing in smart people like Levitt tells me that they're finally serious, and the fact that this guy's going to have a lot longer leash than I think a lot of Florida State fans think he would. Not just the buyout, it's the fact that he's actually bringing in smart people to help him out and make him not look so stupid. I told you this game's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to go the way of a rout from Clemson, or Florida State's going to make it incredibly uncomfortable for fans sitting there in Death Valley. Switching gears to Georgia, South Carolina. It's hard for me to not look at this game and see a game that is a similar mold to what we saw 2 years ago in Athens. This game is going to look a lot more like that game than the last time these two play, when South Carolina basically was out of it from the word go in a 41-17 roughhousing at Williams-Brice Stadium a year ago. This is probably going to look more like the 24-10 matchup when Georgia was number two in the country and South Carolina was in a two-score contest going into the fourth quarter. Granted, it was a touchdown a two-point conversion and a field goal away from that. But still, there were situations in that game where Will Muschamp, you know, he went with the onside kick in the second half. There were situations where he, like in the Alabama game, tried to steal a possession. I don't think you have to do that in this game. I think if you can stop the run, and that's the one thing that South Carolina, if there's one thing that South Carolina has done consistently, at least outside of the opening game of the season, and again, I give them a bit of a pass because their offense gave them no favors on the defensive side of the football. The one thing that they did do for the most part outside of the UNC game is they've stopped the run. They did it against Bama, Missouri, and Kentucky, all three. Now, granted, this is the best running team that they're going to face on their schedule. That includes Clemson. Georgia runs the football better than anybody in the country. They have the best offensive line of anybody in the country, I would argue. So this is the toughest test for guys like Javon Kinlaw, the big uglies up front. Well, the one thing that they will have to do is stack the box and make anybody other than Jake Fromm be the one that beats Will Muschamp and the Gamecocks.
Defensively, very deep and talented on the front seven to play a lot of guys up front, enroll guys in there, play hard, play tough, play physical. But the two guys that jump out at me is the two safeties, Reed and LeCount, are really good football players. They erase a lot of things, tackle well in space, you know, make a lot of communication, obviously, in what they do defensively, and those guys do a really nice job. A really talented specialist. Blankenship's been there a long time, and the punter's a really good player, and then they got really good team speed and returner. So got a good football team.
Well, that was their defense.
That's on me.
Oh, you're gonna take the L on that one. That's fine.
That's on me.
They do have very good specialists. Well, that's the one thing, too, that Griffith said. Griffith said that South Carolina might actually have them beat specialist-wise because they had the muff punt against Notre Dame. That's the one thing. It's weird how it almost sounds like an insult when people say this about South Carolina. And Saban did this, too, in the Bama game. He's like, you know, I really love their special teams. I really love what they do on special teams. Even Missouri, the Missouri guys were like, oh, you know, we really like what they do on special teams because they were scared of Deebo Samuel a year ago and 2 years ago when he had his big plays against Missouri those 2 years. So they really like what they did on special teams. The fact that Joseph Charlton, you know, he could win the Ray Guy Award, which, as I've always said, the Ray Guy Award is a real ominous award to win because it means that you're punting the football a lot. They don't give that award to guys in places where they don't punt. They give that place to guys who have high averages. And you know, if you have a high average, it usually means you get a lot of reps. You're not getting that award if you're only punting it one or two times a game. Usually you're getting that award if you punt about four or five times a game, or six. And Joseph Charlton, no offense to Brian McClendon, Will Muschamp, Joseph Charlton's gotten his reps. But be that as it may, the Georgia offense has the ability to run the football against anybody in the country, and South Carolina has been equal to the task of the running teams that they'll face this season. They need to do that this game in order to ensure that Georgia doesn't run them out of the building.
You start at quarterback, and Jake Fromm is completing right out about 80% of his passes. I think he was 24 of 29 Saturday night, very accurate with the football, a lot of command. And what they do offensively, obviously, he's had a lot of turns and reps, but just an overall really good football player. Offensive line's big and athletic. They've allowed one sack all year, and I think 18 negative plays in five games, which is, you know, as much as they run the football, is pretty remarkable. But very athletic and big up front. Receivers, the seniors, as Simmons and Cager's been a good pickup for him. Graduate transfer's a bigger guy. You know, some of the back shoulder balls and things does a really nice job. But they're young at receiver, but very talented Pickens, and those guys are really talented guys. And, of course, the backs are outstanding. Swift and Heron and White and Cook are all very talented guys in the backfield and do a good job of getting those guys the ball in some different ways.
Who would you say, and again, this is one entity's opinion, Diesel, so take it with a grain of salt, but if you had to say, who was the quarterback with his play in 2019 that would be Pro Football Focus's overall best graded quarterback through 6 weeks of the season in college football?
Couldn't tell you. Who is it?
Would you believe it's Georgia's Jake Fromm? 8 big-time throws, which is 13th in the country. 80% adjusted completion percentage. That takes away things like batted balls and throwaways. 69.4% accurate throwing percentage, a.k.a. throw the ball where it's supposed to be. And 22.5% adjusted accuracy plus percentage, second in the country. He has a 93.4 grade with the metrics that they use, their adjusted stats among all quarterbacks in all of college football. He's got a regular percentage when it comes to his completion percentage of 77%. This is for a guy who last year, 39th best draft eligible prospect on the big board entering the 2019 season. Projected as a second to third round projection coming into the year. And yet Georgia fans call him a game manager. Man, I'd love to have that game manager on my team if I was anybody. Good gracious, dear me. There isn't a quarterback in the country who is appreciated less by its fan base than Jake Fromm. So yes, the way to beat Georgia is to make this guy beat them. But I would contend he has the ability to do that and then some. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. We'll come back and do some high school football with Cole Bryson. The still undefeated Burns Rebels continuing their string, looking to see what they bring to the table in this week. This is a real part of their region schedule that starts to get a little interesting. Cole Bryson joins us next on ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A texter from the 803 would like us to get back on the ranch versus blue cheese question, which is better? I literally just got on you and said that I didn't think that either is very nice. I don't like either. I don't like any of the white condiments. He also said, equally important, do you prefer Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts? Those are two types of people in the world.
Krispy Kreme, without a doubt.
No one goes to Dunkin' Donuts for the donuts, man.
Exactly. Nobody goes to Dunkin' Donuts for the coffee either. The coffee stinks.
Hold on.
Their coffee stinks.
Hold on. You have just brought a war on this that I do not want. I don't think you want to start
Dunkin' Donuts.
That.
Donuts are so bad, they dropped the word donuts from the name of the restaurant. It's just Dunkin' now.
Well, because their coffee is amazing. Their coffee is amazing.
Get out of here.
Their coffee is amazing. Get out of here. You're full of it.
We're going to need Cole to settle this dispute.
Dunkin' Donuts coffee, Cole Bryson, your thoughts?
Listen, I don't ever recall a time I've been to Dunkin' Donuts, but, you know, regarding your ranch blue cheese discussion, we just actually, it's funny, we had this conversation at dinner just about an hour and a half ago.
Were you inspired by our conversation?
Yeah, and here's the deal. If you don't like ranch, like, what are you doing? First of all, we were eating dinner, and I was shocked because someone was surprised we were putting it on our pizza. Like,
it's terrible. That's terrible.
That's the best thing in the world, man.
Nah, man. Nah, you're desecrating that pizza by putting ranch on it.
Oh my goodness.
The only acceptable toppings for a pizza outside of what you get from the oven are garlic powder or hot pepper flakes. That's
it. Oh goodness.
Or Parmesan.
God, what a purist.
Yeah, really.
Oh, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, as you can tell, Cole Bryson is not in studio with us. He is out at Malden High School, adjacent to the house that Kevin Garnett built at Malden High School, getting ready for Burns football tonight on ESPN Upstate, which you can hear beginning at the top of the hour. Burns continues to roll here, Cole, and obviously from this perspective, region play very much in the rear, or very much in the forefront for them. Where do you think this Malden squad has for the Rebels here coming up tonight?
Well, you know, Malden is a very, very good football team. Will, when you look at what they do offensively, they lean heavily on two running backs that have played really well for Maldon. They have leaned on Jordan Franklin. Last week, he rushed for over 230 yards on 16 carries against Boiling Springs. Maldon is a very gritty team. If you remember, they led Gaffney in the fourth quarter and very easily. I mean, listen, several coaches have told me they could have and should have beaten Gaffney if it wasn't for a big punt return by the Indians. So this Maldon team had Gaffney on the ropes. They played well in this region. They had a big win last week over Boiling Springs. However, there are still holes when you look at this Maldon team. Last week they turned the ball over five times at Boiling Springs and still won. So obviously talking to Harry Cavanaugh last week on the Saturday morning scramble, turnovers was something he emphasized. You got to limit those. He said if we turn the ball over against Burns, it's not going to be pretty. So this is a Maldon team that's going to show up, and they're going to play tough. This is not going to be a walk in the park for the Rebels. However, Burns is the more talented football team, and I expect Burns to pull away at some point in the second half, but I really expect Maldon to fight hard. And if you're listening to this game tonight, I'm sure that you'll get the sense that Maldon is not giving up, even if they are down by a few scores. I expect this to be a very competitive football game.
Yeah, it's weird, Cole. The game last week, again, left a lot to be desired from the competitiveness standpoint because it was homecoming and you played Riverside. Yep. There are no gimmies left on the schedule right now. I mean, Maldon, Dorman, Hillcrest, Bowling Springs, these are all competitive football games left for the Rebels.
They are, and that's the thing about it. You got to, you know, you have a chance if you're Burns to control your own destiny if you can win some of these big games. Tonight's a big road game. And then we're not even going to get into next week's game because that is probably going to be the biggest game in the state next week. But for a Burns team that has rolled this season, rolled one of the best teams they played in Gaffney, you know, beat them by a comfortable margin, and you look at what they've done offensively but also defensively, you start having confidence if you're this Burns squad. But at the same time, you have to be careful. And you got to remember, these teams are still good. Maldon's still a good football team, so you can't come out flat. Last week against Riverside, Burns, like you said, it was homecoming, but Burns kind of came out a little rusty, a little flat. Coach Shaw talked about this week in the pregame interview, the penalties for Burns has just been awful these past couple of weeks, over 100 yards in penalties last week at Riverside, or excuse me, at home versus Riverside. You got to cut out the penalties if you're Burns, and you got to play sound, disciplined football and rely on that defense to do what they've done best all season. And I think if you do that, you'll be okay. But you can't overlook teams like Maldon, Hillcrest, and Boiling Springs.
We were able to hear Cole Bryson, the voice of the Burns Rebels, joining us here tonight. Top of the hour, half hour away from now, coverage begins of Burns taking on Maldon in region play here on ESPN Upstate. We were able to get the Mr. Football finalists yesterday, Cole, and remember, the Burns Rebels is on the list of finalists. Rajay Harris, running back for Burns. How excited were you to see him on that list, and what do you think of his chances to win the award?
Well, you know, when we saw Rajay Harris as a sophomore, that was, if you follow high school football very closely and you saw Burns play 2 years ago and you saw Rajay Harris as a sophomore, you saw this kid and you thought, man, this kid is really, really special. Man, this kid has a lot of talent. Last year he was bit by the injury bug. He was struggling with several injuries last year, couldn't quite stay healthy, didn't have the stats that he would have hoped for. But this season, I heard from so many people going into the season, if Rajay Harris can stay healthy, he is definitely a Mr. Football finalist. And so far, he has stayed healthy. He's a little banged up tonight, but he's starting. We got the starting lineup, and he is on the starting lineup, so that's a good sign for Burns. But when you saw him as a Mr. Football finalist, Eastern Carolina commit is Rajay Harris, you saw it coming. But it's awesome for Burns because they have – several players who have been, you know, awarded Mr. Football Award, but Rajay Harris is a player that's put in the work. He is a great player on and off the field. He doesn't get into the trouble that you see sometimes with these student athletes. He's a very good role model for the younger Rebels to look up to, and he's earned his due. I mean, he's done a great job, and look at the season he's had, over 700 yards already on the season, and to see him on that finalist list is not surprising. All of Rebel Nation is so excited for him to be on that list.
Yeah, he's on a list that a couple people deep, and the one thing that I find interesting too, Cole, is that, you know, this award is not necessarily something that is a is a quarterback-only award like the Heisman would be. I know that there's three quarterbacks who are finalists, including the South Carolina commit Luke Doty out of Myrtle Beach, but Jalen Hyatt's on this list. Martin from Lawrence is on this list. Of course, Tyler Venables at Daniel. And the last guy who won the award last year was not even an offensive player. It was Zach Pickens, a TL Hanna grad. Right. So this is something where what would he have to do in your mind to convince those who vote for this award that he's deserving?
Well, I think he's got to do what he's done all season. You know, last week he unexpectedly went out a little early against Riverside. But if you – listen – I know there's a lot of factors that play into who gets the Mr. Football Award, but the Gaffney game itself should be enough for the voters to look out there, and I'm obviously a little Burns biased here, but the Gaffney game where Rajay Harris goes to Gaffney and puts up 300 yards by himself on a very good Gaffney defense, that should be a lot. That should have a lot of weight, and I think it does. I think if Rajay continues to finish the season strong like he has in these four remaining games, I think he'll absolutely be right there at the top.
Speaking of Gaffney, they are on the road tonight playing at Dorman. Dorman unblemished 6-0, number four in the state. This is a game that Gaffney won a year ago. Both teams coming off wins. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, man, this is one that we've been talking about all week. Lane Fowler, my color commentator, and Sam Clark and I have been talking about this on the ride over here to Malden. And, you know, we've seen Gaffney. Obviously, we haven't seen Dorman. We'll see Dorman next Friday night. But, you know, Gaffney's still a very talented football team. Even though Burns scored on them the way they did, Gaffney's still very talented. What's hurting Gaffney is they still don't have Stan Ellis back, one of their biggest playmakers. They still don't have Damari Littlejohn back, one of their best defensive football player. So they're still battling the injury bug. Dorman's rolling. Dorman's been so good, not only offensively, but defensively. Dorman's averaging 7 yards given up per game on the defense side of the football. That's pretty impressive. So Gaffney's going to have their work cut out, man. There's going to have to be a lot of things that go Gaffney's way. Andre Lindsay's going to have the game of his life tonight for Gaffney, the quarterback. I would like to say that Gaffney can be in this one late, but they're going to have to play their best game they've played all season.
Cole Bryson, voice of the Burns Rebels, our high school update here as we give to you on a Friday night on ESPN Upstate. This next game resembles very much, in my mind, what we see tomorrow in Death Valley between Clemson and Florida State, a once proud program visiting the new hotness, Boiling Springs and Spartanburg. I know Boiling Springs doesn't have the record here, but they've dominated this series since 2008 against Spartan High. That game is at Boiling Springs. How do you feel about this one between the Bulldogs and Vikings?
This was the hardest game I had to pick in my weekly article that I do, Will. I picked Boiling Springs, but, man, if I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Spartanburg, and if I had to pick again in 10 minutes, I'd probably pick Boiling Springs. This one's tough because Boiling Springs, like you said, has had Spartanburg's number the past few years. Rick Tate has owned this series against Chris Miller. Let's just be frank. Rick Tate's won a lot of these ball games as of late. The Bulldogs have won 5 straight against the Vikings, 4 years in a row. They won twice in the 2016 season when Boiling Springs went to the state title game. October 17th, 2014 was the last time Spartanburg beat Boiling Springs. So it's a long time coming. You know, in this region, we see teams get beat this year and that year, and usually it kind of goes back and forth. But it's not common to see domination like that for 4 years in a row. And I tell you what, man, if Boiling Springs comes out and is able to move the football and score in the red zone against Spartanburg, I like their chances. But both teams kind of have the same struggles. I don't know. This one's so hard to pick, and I leaned Boiling Springs, but I think this one could come down to whoever has the best field goal kicker.
Exactly. Region matchup we'll finish on here with Woodruff at Union County. Woodruff 4-2. The Jackets sitting here at 3-3. What do you feel about this one?
Oh, man, this is going to be a good one. You know, this is probably one of the biggest games this week, and you would really expect this one to be an offensive show if you're a fan going to the Woodruff Union game. You know, these are two teams that can score a lot of points. They're not known for their defense, but I'm excited to see what Bailey can do at Woodruff and Dindy with a run game. I like Woodruff to have a little bit of an upper hand, but I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes either way. Union has playmakers. Woodruff does too. I really think whoever has the ball last will. I know this sounds so cliche, but in this game, I really think whoever has the ball last will probably win it.
Cole Bryson, always great work on the high school front. We will have the call of Burns at Malden coming up at the top of the hour. You brought everything when it came to the high school stuff. You brought me nothing on the help with the pizza or the coffee talk. So that is where I have to leave it with you, unfortunately.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, man.
That's
Cole. Talk to you soon.
That's Cole Bryson. Again, we'll hear a little bit more from him coming up at the top of the hour. Your heresy against Dunkin' Donuts coffee is startling. Some startling heresy out of you, Diesel. Startling heresy.
It's bad coffee.
It's not bad coffee.
It's old. It's not. Stop you it. Open up a bag. It's the beans aren't covered in oil the way they're supposed to be.
Oh, stop it! Now you're just now you're just trying. You're trying to go technical on
it's
me.
It's bland.
You're trying to go technical on me now.
It's bland because it's a blend, okay? Everything is a blend.
Okay. Now you're trying to sound like coffee nerdness. You know, Peter King does the coffee nerdness.
I did work at a Starbucks.
That's like saying I worked as a flight attendant at an airline. I know how to fly the plane, okay? It's not like you're sitting out there picking. You're not picking
I'm
the
sorry,
beans.
Did you go through the coffee passport system? No, you did not.
Exactly.
Did you do did you do French press tastings of every single coffee they offered?
They make you go through a coffee passport system?
Yes. It's fun because it looks like a little passport, and you do it when there's customers in the store. So you say, hey, I'm doing a coffee tasting here. Would you like to try some? It pairs very well with this pastry. Would you like some of that as well? You've just enamored yourself to a customer. You've maybe turned them on to buying a pound of coffee and or a pastry.
That's like if
That's
like if you were going to go work for the Clemson Tigers Network and you had to basically go through every single Dabo missive and learn about the Clemson way and all that.
Well, wouldn't you want to if you worked there?
I don't know. Ask Mark Ryan. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 71307. I don't know if that's something he actually had to do. I'm just kidding. These are jokes. These are jokes, folks. Here's the thing. Does my sarcasm not come across here enough? Like, do people understand that I'm just literally just here to trying to make you entertained? I'm trying to get you from the Woodruff Road bottleneck back home. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make you, if I put a smile on your face or I make you think about something or if I make you have a different spin on things, that's all I'm trying to do. There's no malice intended here, folks. We're all just here trying to get you from one place to another and have you pass the time by on a Friday. Hope that margarita and or whiskey and or beer tastes better for you. We'll come back. We'll talk some Panthers on ESPN Upstate. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. So I first saw this from Charles Robinson of Yahoo, and then it was written by Kevin Seifert of ESPN, and it's something that I find interesting. NFL coaches have failed on 20 of the last 21 challenges for pass interference this season. Basically, the NFL's officials and the head of officiating, Al Riveron, as the sole arbiter of these decisions, is basically saying boo-hoo to the rule change that happened as a result of last year's snafu that took place in the NFC Championship game. There was a blatant pass interference that took place in the 35-14 victory by the Patriots over the Giants on Thursday Night Football. It wasn't really anything that affected the outcome of the game. It was already not in doubt. Golden Tate went across the middle and essentially got held by Jonathan Jones. He wrapped his arm around Golden Tate's chest and right arm well before the pass arrived. Pretty obvious in real time, honestly. And even in slow motion, it looked bad. But the officials did not call pass interference. Pat Shurmur reviewed it, and they did not say it was pass interference. Pat Shurmur, after the game, asked about the particular challenge he made.
What was the thinking on the call for a challenge on the pass interference there late at the end?
The thinking? I thought we had a solid chance to get it, but we've seen that replay doesn't overturn much. So, not surprised.
Golden Tate also offered after the game, "I'm not the referee. I don't make the rules." This is from Charles Robinson. NFL officials have gone rogue 100%. This wasn't called on the field, wasn't changed after it was flagged. They ruled twice that it wasn't pass interference, which is blatantly wrong, and a purposeful refusal to change the call. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Roger Goodell and the owners basically said, "You, the officials, are crap. So we're going to give you an additional level of scrutiny by virtue of this rule." Nobody could see this coming. Not only are we going to give you an official scrutiny of this particular ruling that took place in the NFC Championship game, but then we're going to make you the sole arbiter and a reason to possibly undermine your fellow officials and say, "Oh, by the way, just in case you feel like there's something that needs to be changed, we're going to make you the head of this." Basically, they were called to the carpet. And you know what they're coming back and they're saying? Because Riveron has the last say on all these particular rulings. He's going to say, "Hi, you want to call me to the carpet? Guess what? We're going to not overturn any of these. Unless it's absolutely 100% like blatant." Except for the fact that last night I would call 100% blatant and it didn't happen. I think the NFL officials have gone rogue. And it's not helping the league. What's not also helping the league is the fact that we have Panthers and Buccaneers. Beautiful, foggy London town. Ron Rivera speaking to those assembled about what this London trip will mean for team building for his team.
I think it's cool. They will have opportunities to go out and enjoy a little bit of London and get a good feel for the life in the UK. So I'm excited for our guys to get away and you know, continue to develop as a team, because I think if you have a strong group of guys in the locker room, I think it really does show on the football field.
I don't know if I like that.
I don't know if I like that they're still playing turn down for what at their practice facility.
Well, it's, you know, it's London. It's London. You allow them to do what they want.
Is that audio from London?
Yeah, he's in London now.
Ah, God, that's an old song.
Well, you know, London, they're a little behind the times a lot of times.
A decade behind the times?
They still have tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, how can that be older than that? I mean, come on, you know? Too soon?
Turn Down for What was released in 2013. They're 6 years behind the times.
I was gonna say, you made it sound like it was 10.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a handful of stadiums out there still playing Gary Glitter.
So. There are.
So I mean,
there was a big controversy surrounding the playing of that because of things involving Mr. Glitter's past that we don't need to adjudicate right now.
Right.
But people raised a big stink when they got rid of that song at certain places, including Kansas City. The Chiefs used to play it after every touchdown, and let's just say it was met with much ire. But then again, when you point out, like I said, what we pointed out before, seems pretty justifiable. Kyle Allen, by the way, since he has taken over as the quarterback, 66% passing, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Here's the problem. He's also fumbled the ball 6 times. So let's just put that in perspective there. For the one thing that Ron Rivera has said, he has stabilized what looked to be an unstable situation.
Things look really tough. Last year, Kyle got his opportunity and came out and played. And then again this year when Cam went down with the injury, you know, it was kind of cool to see Kyle step in. I think, again, he's an interesting guy. He's got an interesting story. He's a terrific football player. He understands the game very well. He's got kind of a gunslinger attitude. Nothing seems to faze him, so it's kind of interesting to watch Kyle play.
I will be first person to sit here and tell you I was wrong on that whole situation. I thought it was going to be disastrous. I thought we were going to be talking about Ron Rivera in the same sentence that a lot of people are talking about Dan Quinn in now, with regards to whether or not he survives this season. Well, quite honestly, he's not only going to survive, he's thrived. And quite honestly, I think that Kyle Allen has saved Ron Rivera's job. I would go so far as to say that. And he owes him every bit of gratitude as a result of that. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line is at 71307. It is a 12-segment show. We reserve the 12th segment for what was left on the cutting room floor because we can't get to all of it in the first 11. We'll come back and wrap it up for the weekend and also give you our last look at everything here on ESPN Upstate. What do you think about Daniel Hudson of the Nationals missing game one because of paternity leave? How do you feel? It's a little odd. Odd time for paternity leave. Again, I'm not going to criticize it. I'm not going to say he shouldn't do it. I'm not going to say he shouldn't be there for his teammates. I've never had a kid, so I can't, you know. I can't come out and do anything there. I'm not going to touch that. People in this company have gotten called out for doing similar things. I'm not doing that. But I will say this. Terrible timing. Terrible timing for it. And again, I know you can't control it. Mason Rudolph out Sunday for Pittsburgh against the Chargers, making the third-string quarterback Devlin Hodges out of where? Samford, Diesel. Samford's own Devlin Hodges.
Them Bulldogs.
He will make his first career start on Sunday for Pittsburgh. Oof. And by the way, he has to go take on the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday Night Football.
What if he goes on to be a boss? What are you going to do on Monday if it turns out he has a really great game?
Why are you going to put me in this position? Why are you going to always put me in this position for the worst?
Just automatically, you know, dismissive and disrespectful of the guy because he came from Samford. You don't know how he's going to play in the NFL.
I was disrespectful for Kyle Allen, and he came from the two football-producing factories of Texas A&M and Houston. Has nothing to do with where he came from. It's just because of the fact that before last weekend when he came in for Mason Rudolph to replace him after he got concussed, I didn't know who the heck he was.
Yeah, but you said Samford. Woof. As in nobody good can come from Samford.
I was doing the woof, woof, the Bulldogs.
That's right. I forgot you're a man of the people when it comes to college football.
Who is Samford University in our final 40 seconds? Who would be Samford University's biggest athletic alum?
I don't know.
Notable alumni in sports. Okay, Bobby Bowden, there's one.
Ah!
Well, he's a coach. It's different. It wasn't because of anything he did on the field. Jimbo Fisher also is there.
Man, he's getting smoked right now.
But, James Bradbury is the best player who actually did something in the league as a player. Get out of here. Have a good weekend. What time are we meeting tomorrow? 12:30? Okay. We'll see you Monday. We'll recap it all for you. Burns Football next on ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.